This holiday season, give your sleigh the gift of confidence on the road. Midas Tire and Auto is keeping you rolling safely through the winter weather while saving you big with these Black Friday deals for your wheels. Right now, get $100 off a set of four tires, including trusted brands like Toyo, Goodyear, and BF Goodrich. Plus, manufacturer rebates up to $100 from Cooper, Hancock, and Michelin. Keeping you safe on the road this holiday season. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Carol's Furniture is helping Sheridan sleep better this season. Now through December 2nd, save $200 when you purchase a Beautyrest World Class or World Class Hybrid mattress. Pair it with a Beautyrest Black Luxury or Base Logic Platinum Adjustable Base and save an additional $300. That's up to $500 in total savings. Stop by today, 340 North Main Street in Sheridan, or visit us at carolsfurniture.com. Carol's Furniture, where comfort and quality meet.
The holidays are here, and the Cozy Corner Gift Shop, just inside Sheridan Memorial Hospital, has something for everyone on your nice list. When you shop at the Cozy Corner, you're not only buying a gift, you're also giving back. We donate all of the proceeds to the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation to support hospital projects. From decorations to clothing, we have all of your holiday essentials. Stop by and find the perfect gift today, and Merry Christmas from all of your Cozy Corner volunteers.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, November 24th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Museum at the Bighorns Director Kerry Ettinger and Operations Manager Chip King. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Floyd.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How's things been down at the museum?
Well, we have been moving along. Last week was pretty good. We have bad weeks at the museum, but lengthy progress has finally been seen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's it's like a sense of satisfaction.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Been waiting for XY to happen, and then it's finally done. So what is the latest on that construction project?
Actually, I was down there this morning, and the electricians are back down there and putting up more track, more lights, and the flooring guys are there putting down the last little bit of flooring right in front of our back door. And the painter is there touching up an area that the sheetrock guys had to make a replacement patch for. So we've got two trades down there right now. And in about an hour, I've got finished carpenters coming in, and they're going to hang some stuff in the lobby for us.
Fantastic. How does it feel walking in there with the lights?
Oh my gosh, it is night and day. It really truly is.
There's not dark sections or putting up work lights so you have light where the printer is.
And, trying to read stuff in the dark.
Just make sure that you push the right button and not turn it off. And yes.
Now, so. I can remember when the museum was in the old building, I attended a couple exhibits, and I loved the wood color, but it kind of made everything very amber. Now, in my mind's eye, I'm thinking about walking in, because I've looked at that picture, the concept, quite a few times.
Okay.
And I imagine walking in that door and just having this bright, almost fresh white kind of light everywhere. Is that what I'm going to get?
Yep.
Big open space. We have a tint of sky blue to an off-white, which we're hoping to project either historic photos or films. And
like up onto the wall?
Yes.
That's amazing.
We have very large back walls, and I'm going to utilize them the best of my ability. Yes.
So you'll be able to project kind of whatever you want, as opposed to have to print something out and hang it.
Yes. And then that way it gives us also the opportunity to change things out using digital methods as I go through more of the collection. Because my goal in the end is to get out as much of the collection as I can, either through programming or through the exhibits.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, and being able to project, I mean, it just makes it more dynamic. I mean, you know, it's this picture and maybe it sits there for half hour, 45 minutes, and then it's another picture, you know, whatever a map, whatever the case may be.
Who knows what maps we have? I haven't gone through that yet.
Or even a slideshow.
Or something, yes. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. A collection of old family photos.
Or downtown. I think we have a lot of downtown through the decades. So.
How about them hardwood floors?
You know, those are, now of course, it's a vinyl flooring, but let me tell you what, those guys that are putting that down, they put down a real thin, I'll call it a subfloor, just to fill in any of the voids. Because the old Woolworth building, there was in-floor electrical, which had long since been abandoned, but all of those outlets and all of those holes for the outlets were still there. So these guys are putting in this subfloor, and then they compound between them to make it a nice, smooth transition. And then there are, I don't know, it's somewhere between 10 and 10,000 brads that they put in each one of these sheets. So all day long, all you're doing is hearing
machine guns.
Yeah. And I don't know how many tens of thousands of these brads are in that floor. But the flooring, I mean, the entire crew, all of the subs that our contractor has used, you want to talk a spot on group of contractors. There was a date misunderstanding between the contractor and us, and they have done 5 weeks, 6 weeks worth of work in 2 weeks.
My goodness.
They have really busted it open.
That's incredible.
They really have.
And they want to see this museum done as much as the rest of us.
Very, very supportive. I can't express how supportive and just seeing it through every deadline so we can show our progress. Yes.
I think that is great.
Same here, believe me.
I'll bet you like it even more than I do.
Yes, yes.
Now, you guys have some dedicated office space now.
Getting there.
Yeah. Getting there.
Yes. Yeah. We have carpet down and we'll have an office space in the back. And we'll be able to talk on the phone and actually permanently set up our computer equipment that has been shuffled around so many times. And I tried to be patient with it, but it's hard to do a day's work.
I don't know. I'm going to miss the card table.
I'm not. I'm hunched over too much. I'm too tall for it.
My wife calls that the shrimping.
Yes.
Having to sit like a shrimp and work on your computer. Yeah.
That's not easy.
Now, folks are really looking forward to kind of peeking their head in, seeing the progress. What will folks be able to see during the Christmas stroll?
Well, obviously, there's not going to be exhibits themselves up because, like I said, I mean, they're working right now. I mean, they're going to be working right up until, I think, Wednesday afternoon. But, you know, what they're going to see is a wide open, oh my gosh, look at what can happen in this space. Mm-hmm. Space. We will have some artist renderings. Four?
Well, three renderings and a floor plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they'll be able to see the vision of what we're wanting to, you know, ultimately do in the entire space.
Now, I had a question here, why it was important to show people this exhibit space. But I think everybody knows as to why. We've all been anticipating this finale of the construction. But when folks poke in and they start kind of looking around, I think my question would be, will I get like a tour on stroll night? Will I be able to walk around this area, or is there still too much going on?
No, you will be able to walk around. We'll have the three illustrations that are mock-ups of what the space will look like from Upland Design, which is the design team we're working with the exhibit build-out, the floor plan. All the museum's board will be on hand throughout Christmas stroll to give tours, to answer questions. So will the museum staff. So somebody will be there if you have, yes, very specific questions. And yes, it's open, free to roam around, look around.
Now, Chip, you guys have got the front.
Yes.
Predominantly open.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, right.
So people can... Have you had folks wander through, maybe come in, buy some things, but
curious
about what's behind
really
the curtain?
Good foot traffic. Our foot traffic has exceeded what we would have had for the entire year up there on Fifth Street.
Just
the 6 months that we've been downtown.
And that's also participating in downtown Sheridan's activities like Third Thursday, the Monster Mash, and then, you know, just invites of people to come and look. And the history of 171 North Main Street exhibit, we have people stop in and write Woolworth's memories. That exhibit will still be up, so you can still come and give your Woolworth's memories as well.
Yes. Do you get a lot of memories?
Yes, we have quite a few hanging. We have photos. It has been very well received. I mean, from employees who used to work there, as I always say, kindergarten shopping to shoplifting. So we have a very broad range of memories, and they're very wonderful to read. Actually, I'm assuming they were mother and daughter. Two ladies came in, and she just mentioned that she wanted to show the one lady all the memories. So yes, word is getting out.
How amazing is that? Yeah. And very poetic that this is the building that was purchased to do this. Well, leased, I guess, to do this. So getting people in there. The building itself is a huge piece of Sheridan history.
Oh yeah. I mean, what closer to center of downtown than on Grinnell and Main Street?
Yeah, absolutely. Have you guys gotten a lot of strong public support, people coming in saying, hey, you know, okay with waiting?
Yes. Yes. You know, some of course come in because, you know, you Google us and, you know, it says we're open and they show up and it's just a real limited exhibit and the gift store. But really, for the most part, they're all super understanding of it. And depending on, you know, how busy we are, how many people we got in there, we both, Carrie and I, have taken people in back during the middle of construction and, you know, just showing them the space when it was bare stud walls and you know, when it was raw drywall and stuff like that. So, you know,
the brick wall in the back.
Yeah, the brick wall in the back. Yeah.
And so
it's, I mean, you know, we've been showing people back there, but now with walls in place and lighting going up, I mean, it's a real happening.
Yeah. And it's really properly opened up.
Oh, yes.
You know, when you really put some light on those shadows in the corner, like you were saying, Carrie, you know, it just opens that whole room. You kind of finally get a grasp of what you're going to be able to do. Now, speaking of one of the partnerships that you're going to have going forward, Reach Sheridan. You guys are creating a sensory-friendly experience. Will that be available or something like that during the stroll?
No, for the stroll itself, Reach will have their sensory tent set up in the exhibit space.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. We talked with them. I don't recall who approached who, but, you know, we talked and it's like, let's give these kids that, you know, may need a little centering, a little self time. Let's give them a nice warm space to do it. And, so they're going to set their tent up in the exhibit space and, they'll be able to, you know, we all tend to get a little sick of people after a while with too many people around. And, you know, there are kids and adults out there that affects even, you know, more drastically than maybe you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're happy to provide a location for them. And, you know, they can come in, they can do whatever it is they need to do to help, you know, refocus themselves and be a nice little sitting space for parents of you know, children that are on the autism spectrum to maybe even talk amongst themselves. So that's a goal Reach is also hoping for, is maybe these parents then also help become a resource for each other.
Oh, that's fantastic. That really is, being able to sit down and speak with somebody that goes through what you go through, and sees the same challenges every day. Now, you know, will Reach have a presence within the museum at the Bighorns as we go forward to the big exhibits and the big opening?
Well, we have had preliminary discussions with sensory or ADA compliant things that go with the exhibits. And usually when we first talk about it, that's accessibility physically, getting into the space, but also visual, hearing, and then some other ones that I'm not as familiar with sensory needs. I think that will be a good partnership for everybody to enjoy the museum. I mean, we're talking everything from print size of text to having audio on our website that is accessible with your phone or an iPad that they can hear if, you know, if they're visually impaired. So yes, there's lots of things to work at and some things that I'm not familiar with my background that will help that experience be more smoother is the best way that I can describe it at the moment. Yes. So more to come on that. But yes, we're starting preliminary discussions on that as the build out and we decide what information goes in those exhibit build outs.
Yep. That's incredible. You know, some of the, I was in a museum in Germany and of course everything was in German. And so they give you this little thing that looks like a remote control and you stick it next to your ear. You gotta walk around. It translates everything for you.
Okay.
I've also done, there's a very large museum right outside of Baker City, Oregon called the Oregon Trail Interpretive Center.
Oh.
And with this museum, they've put a lot of money into it. It's very, very large. But you'll have little tuck-away, I guess you could say, areas kind of in a corner. But they might have a little TV screen in there, and they're playing a video. And so you just can go in there by yourself or maybe three or four of you and just watch this thing for a little while.
Right.
Kind of get away for a minute. You know what I mean?
No, yes. Yeah.
I've been to that interpretive center where you just felt like you could not get through the room if you wanted to. It gets a little busy in there. So it's great to have that inclusion for everyone.
Yes.
Because this is everyone's museum.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, to just add on to what Carrie's saying, I mean, Carrie and I have a lot of education, you know, we need to educate ourselves on, you know, I mean, the large, you know, the large print for visually impaired, you know, it contrasting for visually impaired. We do at present have one iPad, but the goal is to have a few iPads for those who don't have phones, you know, a smartphone, an internet phone.
Yeah.
So they can read something or they can hear something that maybe otherwise they wouldn't be able to. And as far as you know, sensory needs for those that get overstimulated. I mean, that's going to be a learning curve for both of us.
Yeah.
You know, what needs to take place? And I mean, you've said it several times over all of these public pulses, Floyd. I mean, it's everybody's museum. And so everybody does need to be able to, you know, to attend.
That's fantastic. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. More with our museum at the Bighorns right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Legacy Diamond and Gems has been family-owned and operated since 1964. Continuing to strive for excellence, they have Northeastern Wyoming's only GIA graduate gemologist who ensures the quality exceeds your expectations. While their on-site bench jewelers make custom designs of fun collaboration and repairs easy, Legacy was voted Best Jewelry Store in the 2025 Best of the Bighorns. Legacy Diamond and Gems, because every love story deserves a legacy.
Mossholder's Black Friday sale has begun and runs through this Saturday. So all week long, you can take advantage of awesome doorbusters. Mossholder's has sofas for $4.99, a seven-piece dining set for just $9.99, a home office desk for $3.49, or a bedroom chest for just $249. All non-doorbusters are being discounted too. So if you'd like to customize a sofa or a sectional, you can order one in and still save. Every purchase receives savings. That's Mossholder's Black Friday sale going on now. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
Winter's coming. Are you ready to ride? Don't wait until the first snow to find out your sled is not. Come to Sheridan Honda for your pre-season snowmobile service. Oil changes, tune-ups, tracks, we do it all. Same day and drop-off appointments are available. And don't forget, Black Friday is just around the corner. Stop in to learn about our exclusive Black Friday deals on parts, service, and store merchandise. Service your sled for the winter. Get geared up for the holidays. Call Sheridan Honda to set up your appointment today.
The Hometown Shopping Sweepstakes is back.
Shop local first.
ERA Carroll Realty and Range are back with the Hometown Shopping Sweepstakes. Three lucky winners win over $1,000 in gift certificates and chamber bucks from our Sheridan and Buffalo merchants. And we've tied into a national campaign to give you a chance at winning a $15,000 cash prize, too.
You could win $1,000 in prizes from retailers like Pride and Groom, Red Shed Redos, Yoder's Country Market, Wild Waffle Co., and the Gym Aesthetic.
Just go to the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. You can enter daily through December 9th. And a big thank you to Range and ERA Carroll Realty for helping us celebrate the holiday season.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Museum at the Bighorns director, Carrie Ettinger, and operations manager, Chip King. We've received an update on the refurbishing project happening at the Woolworth Building to give Sheridan a museum that residents can visit over and over again and learn something a little new each time. Now, Chip, to get all of this done, there's a big fundraising effort going on.
Yes.
Tell me how important it is that the continued fundraising keep going through phase two.
Well, you know, I mean, it is just, you know, the funds that we have, I mean, they are finite. And Sheridan has always, Sheridan is a fantastic, you know, funding community. I have been on several boards, and the generosity of Sheridan and its residents, you know, to support nonprofits, you know, whether they be for animals or food or, you know, libraries or whatever the case may be, museums, you know, and so this, the support of the community, it is, it helps us get this build out done. But it is also buy-in for the community residents. You know, it is their history that in the first section, Carrie was talking about. It, so much of the collection has never seen the light of day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Carrie's plan is to let's get this out. Let's rotate this through. Let's, you know, the museum changes every 6 months. You know, I mean, let's give the residents something to come back for. It's these funds, it's this fundraising that is bringing that, you know, bringing that to fruition.
Yeah.
It really is.
Carrie, tell me about the Roberts Family Foundation $50,000 match.
Sure. This match was given to support community buy-in. The match is specifically toward individual giving that helps make the match. That's where our community buy-in is. And to get the museum going towards the exhibit build out, but it's more than just the exhibit build out. It's the museum's future. Without the space then supports programming, then changes through the year, as Chip and I have said, to show the collection, also to build the education programs, which I'm currently working on reintroducing the museum to our school districts. We have a lot of rebuilding, and I think we're almost there with all our catch-up work.
Right.
We still have organizing to do, but nonprofit catch-up work, I think we're there. But it's supporting the museum through the years. As you know, nonprofits, we're never asking for money, and it's not because we're being annoying. It's just that we would like to see the museum. It should be in the community for longevity and not neglected. And I guess I just have a different vision for the museum in the new space and its continual education and community programming.
And I am looking forward to sitting down and talking to you about that education programming.
Okay, it's getting there.
You know, those boxes that you guys, for a while, were taking into those schools?
Oh, the trunks.
I love those trunks.
Yes.
What a such a fantastic idea. I think we should talk about those more. And when the time comes, I am very willing to have you on the show to specifically talk about those.
Okay.
Now, can you explain the idea behind offering a limited edition History Bucks gifts for donations?
Well, my fundraising committee has come up with a different idea for fundraising. I'm very excited about it.
Great idea.
Yes. So to help us make our 50,000 match and continue finishing phase two, we are offering donation gifts. So it's kind of like the old PBS. If you give us $25 and a donation, we'll send you this. So we have a limited time bucking horse logo. It's one of our historic photos from the rodeo, and it has History Bucks. So it's kind of a brand idea. And then if we have it on a cup, so if you give $10 donation, you get the cup, a hat, like a trucker hat, $25 donation for the hat. We have a holiday stocking that is stuffed with a assortment of items for the history nerd, history fan. So it's everything from coal candy, long stick matches. There's a hand-spun candy cane. There's stickers, pins, a crystal-growing balsam fir tree. So it's a little scientific project in a box. Lump of gum, cinnamon hard candy, and a hardwood yo-yo. So that's $40 donation. So it could also be a holiday gift. I think we have like 93 of these stockings.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
And then we have a hoodie, a lightweight hoodie that has the logo on it, and that's $50 donation. So all these donations go towards our match, so we can make the match at the end of the year. But also, any amount donation throughout the end of the year will help us make that match. But it's just a different incentive, and we know that we have a captured audience that's in the holiday shopping mood during Christmas stroll. And this is, I like that the fundraising committee took the initiative, because Chip and I have been moving things and doing so many things that a little more brain power went into this. So, and supportive, of course. Our board is very supportive of the changes that the museum is going through and our transitions, and it's a lot of steps.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's fantastic. They stepped in, they said, you know what, let us help out with this part. We got a couple great ideas.
Yes.
Is all this going to be available during the stroll?
Yes, until the end of the year, while supplies last. If we sell out during Christmas stroll, I'll be surprised to everybody. If we have it till December 31st, you might want to get your stocking for next year.
I think that's great. You know, and Carrie, you know, and Chip, so do you, because you've both ran very popular history programs.
Right.
There's a lot of history buffs in this town.
Yes.
And they absolutely love this stuff. And the whole History Bucks branding I really love that idea. I would love to get my hand on one of those hoodies.
You have to come and visit.
I'm going to have to stop on by. Now, how far off are we from the completion of phase two?
Construction itself, really, for the stroll, floors, walls, and all the inventory of light that is available will be in place. Things like the toilet and the sink, desks, you know, refrigerators, stuff like that for the break room and stuff. All of that is still going to be built out. But, you know, really, I mean, if I were to put a percentage on it, a Christmas stroll is going to be 80-85% done. Everything that people will see during the stroll, for all intents and purposes, is complete. We've got, there's super limited inventory of some of the pendant lights that we're waiting on, some of the track heads that we're waiting on. But people aren't going to be walking through the exhibit space by, you know, by construction light, by drop light. it will be the track lighting and stuff like that. And so, you know, we're just, you know, we're like everyone else. I mean, you know, we're at the mercy of supply chain.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Fortunately, it's lighting heads, and we have enough. We have 63 of the 100 that we've ordered. So, I mean, we've got plenty of light. But yeah, 80-85%, I would say, by stroll, the entire phase two will be done.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. I want to thank the construction company out there who's helping you guys out for giving a little sweat equity kind of their part of the donation. They've done a fantastic job, and I really do appreciate the dedication that they've shown by going in there on their days and getting this done as fast as possible. Folks, stop on by there during the stroll. Make a donation. If you can't do that, you can always donate online. Just jump onto the museum's website. I'll be diligent about getting that up for you today. Chip, Carrie, it's always a pleasure having you guys on the show. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. When we come back, we're going to speak with Wreaths Across America. Stay with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Woke radical liberals are screwing up this country. But Senator John Thune is fighting back. He backed one big, beautiful tax cut for working families, ending Social Security taxes for nearly all seniors, and taxes on tips and overtime gone. So call Senator John Thune at 202-224-2321 and thank him for backing working family tax cuts and putting America first. Paid for by American Prosperity Alliance.
What would Christmas be without tradition, without the comfort of home, the joy of family, and smiles of children? Open your heart this year during the 26th annual Christmas Wish Campaign. Due to temporary circumstances beyond their control, some families, friends, and neighbors will struggle to make ends meet, let alone have a Merry Christmas. It's tradition for the Christmas Wish Campaign to bring the spirit of the holidays to those individuals. In the past, we've assisted several people with everything from bills and food to clothing, Christmas trees, and toys for children.
Please send your Christmas wish nominations and donations to P.O. Box 5086 Sheridan or submit them online at SheridanMedia.com as soon as possible. All wishes must be submitted in writing and must include your name and phone number. There are follow-up questions our committee will need to have answered to properly assess each wish. Wishes must be received by Friday, November 28th.
Partners for this year's Christmas Wish Campaign are First Federal Bank and Trust, Heartland Kubota, Advanced Auto Body, Wyoming Corporate Office, Odell Construction, and A-Line Roofing and Exteriors.
Doug, every year I give terrible Christmas gifts. Last year I gave my brother World's Okayest Brother Mug.
Wow, you really need to redeem yourself. Well, the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop can help with detailing gift certificates. It's the gift that says, I love you, and your car smells weird.
Okay, great. I'll skip your embroidered socks and sweaters then.
Yeah, Bob, good idea. Give the gift of clean with Waring Chevrolet Detail Gift Certificates. Stop by at 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Friday is Sheridan's Christmas stroll. Shop. Look for matching button numbers and get caught shopping all day. Santa and Mrs. Claus will be at the Wiley Theater, and Main Street in Grinnell will close from 4 to 8 for marshmallow roasting, free hot cocoa, cookies, and more. For details, visit SheridanWyomingChamber.org.
Christmas Stroll is brought to you by Fremont Toyota, Caldwell Banker, The Legacy Group, Fidelity National Title, Volunteers of America Northern Rockies and Foundation, Century 21, BHJ Realty, and Sheridan Honda and Sheridan Power Sports.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I am joined by Wreaths Across America, Representatives Bev Lightnam and Michelle Parker. Good morning, ladies. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's great having you ladies in here. Now, for those who may not know, what is the mission of Wreaths Across America?
The mission is remember the fallen, honor those who serve, and teach the next generation the value of freedom.
Absolutely. Now, how did this tradition of laying wreaths at Arlington National Cemetery first begin? Because this, the information you gave me, 1992.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had the people that were originally that still produced the wreaths actually had extras. And so they decided that they wanted to put them someplace of value, and they chose Arlington. And so that was how it started. And then somebody along the line said, we want to do this in our communities. That's how Wreaths Across America became what it is today. And so they started with Arlington. People got interested, and then people got like us that wanted to make sure our local people got their wreaths on their graves. So we're here to honor those veterans that fell and then lived, you know, in their communities and came back to serve in roles of family and community and careers. And so we're here to honor them. And I'm very thankful that I got to do that for 3 years, 4 years now. So
absolutely. And I was looking back through some of my stories this morning. And I've been talking with you about this since I think 2023 was the first time we got together.
Yes.
And really started talking about it. And that's where I learned about this main wreath maker, Morrill Worcester?
Worcester.
Worcester. Okay. That one's going to be tough for old Floyder. Now, he actually donates wreaths every year.
Yes.
To get this done.
Yes.
How did this begin? Do you know?
As Michelle had alluded to, he had extra wreaths. He has a tree farm. They have a major tree farm. And so he had extra wreaths and wanted to donate them in some way, some respect. And since he was close on the East Coast, he chose Arlington National Cemetery. But it continued and grew and morphed into this national movement to how we would honor our veterans and their services. And so originally wreaths were placed on graves where the markers were no longer, the names were no longer legible.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would honor all those people who maybe don't have family anymore,
yeah,
or family in the area.
There's grave sites that haven't had a visitor in who knows
in how long. So long. And started the process where you don't just lay the wreath and move on to the next one. There is a solemn process in which you lay the wreath, you repeat the person's name, the veteran's name, and you thank them for their service. So you
actually take time.
Yes.
With you every individual. Yes. Out there.
It's not just a matter of, okay, we have, 200 wreaths to lay and can we get it done in an hour?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a reflection of the dedication of the individuals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Taking this upon themselves.
Oh, yeah. And the volunteers. And in our little ceremony, you're reminded that when you breathe their name, when you say their name, you're actually bringing back that soul's life for that moment.
Absolutely.
And so you're bringing back something to remember for the whole world to remember. So it's just honoring them and not letting them be forgotten. We don't want to forget them because we wouldn't be here without them.
Absolutely. Tell me how you got involved first, Michelle.
Oh, so that was, I was at the Republican Party Women, and I had just finished a job that I had at the VA, and all of a sudden they said, we need a volunteer. My husband wasn't very happy because he's like, oh, one more thing. But I started in, this will be my fourth year, so 2022 is the year. And I just said, okay, I'll do it. And we did it. And that was the first year. And we had snow and all the markers, you had to take them out. And so it was an interesting year.
Yeah.
But we got them done. And the last 2 years have been, the weather's been grand. And so I'm hoping for grand weather this year. And we're going to go back up to the Elks where we started and finish the other half of the Elks that we had started way back 4 years ago. So,
Beb, what about you? What got you here?
Like Michelle, I was introduced to Wreaths Across America through the Republican Women's Group. And because I have such a love and affinity and desire to commemorate veterans, I joined the committee. And now it's become a family-oriented thing for the Lightnums, because my husband, my daughter, and my two grandchildren participate in the laying of the wreaths. It's a family event that we do every year.
I see, and I love that. I love it, because my daughter and I used to do that every Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
We would find the veterans section wherever we were living at the time, because we bounced around a bit. But you go up there and you just clean off all the markers. And she was very young, but I was trying to impart onto her how important it is to remember these individuals. This is a great family activity.
I
love the idea of it. We do this as a family. We go out there together and we remember why we're here. And the reason is because of these individuals.
Absolutely.
Now, apparently a photo went viral. What photo was this?
So there is a photo. You can find it on the internet. And it is a photo of Arlington National Cemetery. It's snow covered. And all the green wreaths are laying up against the white markers, the white gravestones, with that bright red ribbon. It's one of the most iconic photos that I think that you can find. I mean, I have memories of that.
Yeah.
So when that became, when that went viral and it became known to the world, it really expanded Wreaths Across America to, everybody wanted to emulate that photo. And it was like, we want to fill our cemetery with wreaths honoring our veterans.
How many vets we have up there?
We have over 2,200 veterans in our local cemetery.
And so you've got over 2,200 wreaths laying in wait right now?
No, unfortunately we don't. We would love to put 2,200 wreaths out, but usually we put out between 200 to 400, depending upon how many wreaths are purchased to lay on the graves. And that's why we do sections of the cemetery.
okay, so like this year we'll do that section, next year we do this one. Mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I started out, like I said, I started out with the Elks because it was my first year, and I'm from North Dakota, so that picture of that elk and the bighorns behind it was the picture I wanted, and we had a beautiful picture with the snow. We had snow that year. Then we moved up towards the cannon, because there's a cannon up in the cemetery, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of the white headstones. So that same picture of Arlington was actually immolated around that beautiful cannon. And then this last year we did another group that just is off. And then I think after this year, because we're going back up to the Elks, because I love that picture of that elk. I just love that picture. I think that they'll come back, because usually what happens is to make that picture, there is one section right at the beginning of the cemetery that has the white stones. And I think along the line, that's like the first one people will go to.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if they didn't have that one over and over and over again. And so right now, my goal when I became Race Across America location coordinator was, who can we reach with the few wreaths that we have? Because we're not going to get to the whole cemetery. So we've been moving around. And I'm glad to say, I think we got over 50% of the cemetery in the 4 years that I've done it.
There's a lot of individuals up there.
Yes.
Now, what does it look like the morning of? We all gather together.
Usually cold.
Usually very chilly.
Everybody's bundled up. And the last few years, we've gotten a few more props. I'll say props. And so we'll have the wreaths themselves. Our people will lay them out where we're going to place them. So they'll be laid on the side of the road near where we're going to place them. And then we have a place where we did the podium last year. And last year I gathered up flags. We had the flags of all the military. It was very beautiful. Oh, wow. Last year. Yeah. And so, I think the Pastor Kane helped us get those. And so we're going to do them again this year. And then we'll have our little ceremony at the podium. And then we'll go off to where we're going to place those wreaths.
Is there a bit of a benediction at the beginning?
Oh, yeah. And we have a minister that does the benediction. I do the explanation. This year I'm going to do the little speech this year so that we can have me there and doing a speech. And I think I'm going to talk about my grandfather because he's been in my mind a lot lately. He fought in Germany. And was a clerk. And so I need to talk about my grandpa this year.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody wants to begin a new family tradition, maybe they're listening out there and they're like, you know what, that would be great to be a part of that, to get my kids involved. How do I get involved, Beth?
You can actually go online to Wreaths Across America and purchase a wreath in honor of, in memory of, or if you have a family member buried in the local cemetery, you can place that wreath at your family's grave. The wreaths cost $17, only $17.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And that price has not raised. It was the same price last year. But you can go online to Wreaths Across America and purchase that wreath and have it placed on a veteran's grave, unless you have a grave-specific individual that you want that for.
When is all of this happening?
December 13th. And the ceremony in our local cemetery will begin at 10 with the laying of the wreaths to follow after the cemetery, which will be approximately 11.
Okay, this thing has gotten to be a tradition for a lot of people in the United States. More than 3 million wreaths were laid last year. That's incredible.
Yes.
Have you seen this grow, Michelle, since?
I haven't noticed, but I do know that in the Republican women part, I know that in Casper, which they have the state cemetery there, and I also know Sturgis, they will lay wreaths on all of those graves. And so, I mean, they have a big ordeal. They have a gala for the veterans. So I know that across the country where there are places, there's a lot of people doing a lot of good work. I would like to remind people that if you want your wreaths this year, Our cutoff date will be Wednesday, the 26th of November. So just get a hold of us at I will give you my number and give me a call and we'll get you your race.
Okay, fantastic. Now, is there a place I can jump online if I just needed to get it done quickly?
Yes, it's Wreaths Across America. If you just Google it.
It's right on here.
All right. Okay. I will get that up, folks. Got it right here. WreathsAcrossAmerica.org. Head on there, and you can purchase your wreaths on there as well. Correct, mm-hmm, Michelle? Mm-hmm.
And so you just put in Sheridan. There'll be two groups. One will be the Republican Women, and the other one will be the City Municipal Cemetery.
All right. And you can actually look at the location that you want to contribute mm-hmm, mm-hmm. your wreath
yep,
to.
Yes.
All right, that's fantastic. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning. I'm really looking forward to this event getting bigger and bigger each year. And I thank you for all that you do for those up there.
I would like to add one last thing, if I could, Floyd. I'd like everyone out there to ask themselves, where would you be? What would your life be like if not for our veterans who have stepped up for us time and time again, and reflect upon that?
I think everyone should take a moment with that. I think we should quite often. Thank you. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Share.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hi, Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Just in time for Christmas, we have received pallets of merchandise at liquidator pricing and are passing the savings on to you. You will save more than you spend with savings up to 88% off from power tools and accessories, Christmas decorations, gadgets, pet beds, stocking stuffers, and items that you didn't even know you needed. And it's all priced to sell. The Sheridan Commercial Company Holiday Bargain Sale starts this Friday. Shop local and save big at the Sheridan Commercial Company.
Take a journey from the Scottish Highlands and the streets of Finland to the back bowls of Whitewater, British Columbia, and a local hill turned terrain park in downtown Denver. It's Warren Miller's Snow Society, tomorrow night at 7 at the YO Theater. This deep dive into the culture behind the sport captures the humor, approachable personalities, and memorable moments that make the snow community so unique. Get your ticket for Snow Society online today at yotheater.com.
Help celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States by designing a flag for your Sheridan County community. Sage Community Arts invites designs from each of the 14 cities and towns in the county. One design will be chosen from each to begin flying the first week of January. To enter, scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for a link with format information and to submit your design. This contest sponsored in part by Sage Community Arts and Sheridan Media.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM KROE.